finding them on the papers. It's hard to find in the magazine. It doesn't matter what show you tune in. It's hard to find on the TV screen. But it's on the radio. Truth is on the radio. Talk is all you get, and you wanna hear it straight.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, in Republic Broadcast Network land. This is Ed Waller. I'll be sitting in today for John Stattmiller on the National Intel Report. This is that one day of the week when John gives up his prestigious chair of informing the nation of what's going on and what's being done to us, and allows us rank amateurs to bring you the information we hope you'll find useful in making decisions about the way you want to live your life and your interaction with the government. Today we have an extra special treat. I have T.J. Henderson with me today. He's one of the other authors of the book U.S. of A. v. U.S., The Loss of Legal Memory of the American State. And after the first break, we'll bring him on, and you'll have both of us to query about what we've put in the book. Those who have already received it, I welcome you to call in. It is Thursday, the 9th day of March in the year 2006. We'll be with you for the next 2 hours while we try to provoke, educate, inspire, and maybe get a little, have a little fun as well. As you know, I rotate in with Desi and John Ainsworth and whoever else. I think there's more, maybe L.B. Bork or our fine friend up in Alaska, Mr. Ralph Winterroad. So this Thursday is my chance to meet and greet with you and talk with you across the nation. And obviously it's your opportunity to call in and ask any questions on the subject matter that I usually talk about, which, of course, is legal relations with the United States, how we seem to be volunteering into a jurisdiction foreign to that which our founding fathers would have us enjoy, that of U.S. citizenship. And if you have, still have any questions about how that's defined and how it differs from being a state citizen and where the applicability of the Constitution is, it only applies in and is binding only in the United States of America. It is not operative out in the territories, as in the United States. A municipal corporation at 28 U.S.C. 3002, subpart 15. So hopefully you callers will fill up the caller board here after the first break, and we'll get into a deep dialogue about this information. I understand there's some who may disagree with our characterization that you just need to step aside over into where it's free and enjoyable, and that we need to make a more direct assault on the unconstitutional system, as you might view it. I would love to talk about that today if somebody finds that a worthy topic. Anything else that you want to talk about? There's a lot going on, as we all know, with Iran, with Mr. President. Sounds like the congressman Ron Paul has come out and proclaimed that Mr. Bush is going to be impeached. We'll see if that actually comes to pass. Which would be worse, George Bush or having Vice President Cheney become the president? I don't know about y'all what y'all think, but I think both are pretty scary propositions. So whatever else is on your mind, and we'll be back after this break with my guest, T.J. Henderson.
Can Can you grow your own nutrition on a shelf indoors in 10 days? Wheatgrass juice is live superfood, the richest nutritional liquid known to man, packed with amino acids, living enzymes, and over 100 elements. 2 ounces of juice have the same nutrition as 3 pounds of choice garden produce. Call 1-877-699-4328. That's 1-877-MY-WHEAT. The stamina, healing, blood building, weight control, and cleansing are just the beginnings of what you will reap from pennies worth of grain. For the book, seed, and the beautiful stainless steel hand crank wheatgrass juicer for $150 plus shipping. No monthly pills, no monthly bills. This is real self-sufficiency. Go to AustinWheatgrass.com or call toll-free 1-877-MY-WHEAT. That's 1-877-699-4328. And thank you for your support of our labors and of the RBN Network.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a 1-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49? Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898. Get ready for Real Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stadtmiller.
And welcome back to this edition of National Intel Report. I'm your guest host, Ed Waller. Those of you who have been listening to the show for a while know that we rotate on Thursdays to talk about issues derived from Reconstruction to the conversion of our nation into a legislative democracy. Today, I am actually with my guest host, T.J. Henderson, a man I respect deeply, met a couple years ago. He is a Republic counselor at law. He basically is a counselor at law without a bar card, for those of you who understand all the ramifications of that. The only man ever to be admitted to practice law in Judge Rainier's courtroom out in Washington without a bar card. He's a co-author of the book, U.S. of A v. U.S., The Loss of Legal Memory of the American State, and a renowned expert on consumer credit issues, specifically the Truth in Lending Act. So it gives you a broad range of topics if you feel like calling in. In the meantime, let me bring him up. T.J., welcome to the National Intel Report.
Hello, this is T.J. Henderson.
Good to have you with me here today. As you know, I get on this program, oh, now it's about every 4 weeks on Thursdays, and we've talked about having you on before, but due to schedules and everything else going on, that hasn't happened until today. As you know, you received your copies of the book last week, well, actually earlier this week. We started shipping them last week when we got them on Wednesday. Tell people why you think this book was important and needed to be written.
Well, first I want to say hello to everybody out there, and I'm glad that you're listening. I hope to get some callers. You know, I'd like to hear your thoughts about the book as far as readability and the information provided in it. But I have been following what you might call the Patriot Movement for since 1989, and watched all different sorts of processes and things that people were doing in order to step outside the system, and I looked at those processes. Most of them, I just threw them in the garbage and chalked them up for what you might call patriots for profit. And I just, you know, like some of these processes just wasn't worth the time of the day to read. And I studied these issues for the most part over the last 10 years and come to the conclusion that there has got to be an easier way. But before we could get to that easier way, the general public or people who wanted to step outside of the box called the system, they needed to get knowledge. And of course, I didn't even have all the knowledge until a little more than 6 or 8 months ago. And when I met the other author, who's not on tonight, Richard Dwight Kegley, him and I started conversing back and forth and on different subjects in this area. And we
had a lot of the pieces. He had some, you had some, and then by putting them all together.
Right. That's basically what happened. We both had pieces, and he had some case law, and I had some case law, and I had some thoughts. He had some thoughts, and we got to conversing back and forth, and I went to a seminar that he put on out there in June, on June 15th, I believe it was.
Something like that, June of last year.
June of last year, and received some case law while I was out there, and I went and studied that case law and found out that, you know, exactly what happened, what sparked writing this book. A lot of this case law is within that book, and as you read along, you'll see the switch in time, what happened. You know, there's some out there that think that Reconstruction still in the Reconstruction Acts of the 1860s are still in place, and quite frankly, everything's been reconstructed at least twice since then. The 1937 switch in time cases pretty much prove that, you know, that when we started going into an even worse legislative democracy, being upheld by our Supreme Court redefining various provisions of the Constitution, you know, giving this particular government, which happens to be a corporation, a federal corporation, more latitude through contractual relations.
And in fact, it's particularly timely since you and I saw today that Christopher Shea, out of the Boston Globe, wrote a December 4th, 2005 article talking about the switch in time. Back then it was called The Switch in Time That Saved the nine Supreme Court justices. And I guess there's now some revisionists who want to not say that the justices changed their mind 1 year to the next and suddenly paved the way for the New Deal. And we give that pretty thorough treatment in the book, as you might say.
Yeah, we do, Ed. You know, I recall a chapter in there where I take a look at the Agricultural Adjustment Act, which was actually one of the New Deal acts that came through Congress in 1935, actually in 1934, and it was challenged, the Agricultural Adjustment Act was challenged as being unconstitutional because it was mandatory, even though there was no mandatory language within that act. The farmer who challenged it came back and said it's mandatory because if he didn't join the association, he wasn't going to get the price, the higher price for his crops as the Associated Farmers was going to get, and the U.S. Supreme Court absolutely agreed with it. Well, if you look at the Social Security Act, it's pretty much the same way. You put them side by side, the Social Security Act or that piece of case law, you find that the Social Security Act is unconstitutional for almost the same reason. And that reason being, if you don't have the number, if you don't have the account open, you're not going to get to work, which makes it mandatory. Same difference.
And therefore would be found, if with proper jurisprudence, to be unconstitutional. But they tried to save it back then by making it voluntary. And what did we find in the Social Security Act? When you volunteer to get one of those magic numbers, what happens to you?
You actually contract to be taxed.
Taxed and treated as a United States citizen.
That's right.
The Pollock decision back in the 1800s caused them a lot of problem on this. And in my mind, this, the Social Security Act and the voluntary nature of it solved the problem that came out of the Pollock case.
Right. The Pollock v. Pollock case and the U.S. or what's the name of that case?
Which one do you think of?
Union Pacific Railroad.
Oh, Union Pacific Railroad. Okay.
That case, they had major problems with them two cases. Both of those finding that the income tax would be a direct tax, and except for one piece of income that came down in the Union Pacific Railroad case, that particular case, there was one source of income that was taxable because it was from the government. So it was more of a benefit than anything. So.
Well, I know there's a lot. I went to Aaron Russo's film last Saturday, actually a week ago Saturday. No, it was last Saturday. And, you know, attended Bob Schultz's We the People meeting there. Mr. Russo's film is inspiring. He obviously put some research into it, talked to a lot of the tax honesty movement people. But when I came out of there, you know, they kept saying, show me the law, show me the law, show me the law that requires an American to pay the income tax. And, of course, we know that to be Title 8 of the United States Code, Social Security Act.
Well, it's Title 8 of the Social Security Act, Title 8, Section 8. Title 8, Section 8, which is reproduced in the book, pretty much in its entirety, absolutely shows it.
So there's no real mystery. We've just got to get the American people to recognize that they have voluntarily asked to be taxed. They also become federal personnel under 5 U.S.C. 552A-A13. And, of course, as people look through Title 26, they see that it only applies to employees of the government, officers of the government, and all those types of designations, and yet they don't realize that they are one of those.
Well, what has happened when you go in and get the Social Security number itself and open that account, you become federal personnel, as Ed said. It's 5 United States Code, Section 552A, A in parens after the 552A, sub 13, which in part says in the last portion of the sentence, any deferred retirement program of the United States. United States meaning at 28 United States Code, Section 3002A15, a federal corporation.
It's time for our break. Rodney in Texas, hold on. We'll get to you after the break. This is National Intel Report. We'll be right back.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Or click on our banner at RBNLive.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education.
Get a pen and paper ready for emergency storable food information. The attention of the nation is focusing on families storing emergency food in their homes. FEMA has recently proven that their fears of being unable to care for large numbers of people are justified. Hurricane relief in the South was a disaster. The system for tracking all food is now in place. There are numbered stickers on produce, grocery store ID cards track purchases, and now veterinarians will police the permitting and tagging of all livestock food production. The need to prepare has gone from a walk to a full-blown race. Major churches are telling their members, get food now. You'll never have to stand in a bread line if you have your own bread. For help with food supplies, call the J. Michael Stevens Group at 800-409-5633. That's 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. That's efoodsdirect.com.
Another ragtag band declaring independence. Laid their bodies down on a bloody war, and liberty for their descendants.
And we're back to the National Intel Report on this Thursday, March 9th, 2006. This is Ed Waller, your guest host. I do invite you to visit our website at www.usofavus.com. That's www.usof, as in O-F, of A-V-U-S.com. Our shopping cart's up, and you can purchase your copy of the book. That we are hoping will lead to at least a commercial revolution in the way people deal with this corporate entity known as the United States government. Rodney in Texas, you're our first caller this afternoon.
Why, good evening.
Good afternoon.
Hey, thank you guys for taking my call. Forgive me, I didn't catch your name and the name of the show, but I really appreciate it because you're talking about constitutional issues, and I'm very, very interested in that. Now, you mentioned two words, the word unconstitutional and another word revisionist.
Mm-hmm.
Recently, I think it was just yesterday, they said that the president was going to try to use the blind item veto. Now, here's my question to you. The Supreme Court has already ruled once that the line item veto is unconstitutional.
Okay.
Yet this president, through some type of machination, has determined that he's going to reintroduce a line item veto in a different form and therefore be able to get it through the Supreme Court. Now, my question to you is, how many times does the Supreme Court have to tell a president or presidents that the line item veto is unconstitutional, and that's all there is to it before this president understands that? And what part of the Constitution actually addresses that particular subject, the line item veto?
I'm not sure what. I mean, I've read the Constitution, and I've found no specific statement about whether or not a line item veto can be there or not. What I would demonstrate to you is that prior to 1937, minimum wage rules, issues regarding interstate commerce had all been decided on for over 140 years by the Supreme Court, and within 1 year, everything flipped. So it ought to tell you that you're not